Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Veterans Day edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. He is in New Jersey. I'm here at Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael, it's like the autopsy that we do on a Monday every week here for Week 10. But we do have one more game to get to round out Week 10. And it's an interesting game all of a sudden for the Rams in L.A. against the Dolphins. I don't know that they'll have a home field advantage with Miami coming cross-country here, right? But the Fish are getting 2.5 against, I want to say, the rejuvenated Rams. Do you feel that with L.A.?
Well, you know, they're getting their offensive line back, right? I mean, they may not have Haberstein in there, but they're getting healthier up front, which is important. And we know when they have Puka, who got ejected from last week's game, they're a better offensive team. Look, it's interesting. This line was 1.5. I took Miami on Russo. It was 1.5. We don't know if Tyreek Hill's going to play, but now it's at 2.5. Mm. I mean, the money has come in on the Rams. I think everybody expects them. The Rams have a short week this week. Then they have to go back and play the Patriots all the way across country. It's a big game because, look, let's face it, you know, Seattle had a bye, San Francisco won, and Arizona continues to lead the West. I mean, so this is an important game for the Rams, and they've got to be able to play well, and Miami has to break this losing streak. I mean, this could be another season over. This is kind of like, to me, this is a make-or-break game for Mike McDaniels. I really believe that. Now, look, they come home, they play Las Vegas next week. But they've got to break out of this slump at some point. I mean, Tua was really good last week. Can they play good enough defense? I think this is a back-and-forth pace game, you know, and I honestly believe that, you know, this is must-win for Miami. I don't see how Miami, if they can't find a way to win this, right? If they can't find a way to win this, right now they're in 12th place. And they go to 2-7, I mean, New England has a better record than them.
Wow.
Think about that.
Well, I think the three surprises negatively in the AFC have to be the Bengals right now being under 500, right? The Jets certainly with their predicament of 3-7, and the Fish that we look at, and I get it because they've got the injury to Tua. So, you know, Joe Burrow's played all those games, and certainly Aaron Rodgers played all those for the Jets.
But, you know, Dave, good teams overcome those things, right? They usually overcome them. The other thing I think to me is, look, we talk about Cincy, can they make the playoffs? I think Cincy winning this North is out of it.
Yeah.
But when you consider that Denver's 5-5 and Cincy's 4-6, right? You know, they're one game out of the seventh spot. They're one game out. So I think their focus has got to be on the seventh spot. The Chargers are in the sixth spot at 6-3. Baltimore's in the fifth spot at 7-3 because obviously Pittsburgh's in the first place in the NFC, in the AFC North. So, to me, you know, with one game out, you know, I don't count the Colts as being a player in this. I mean, they're 4-6. The Colts are 4-6. They're just one game better than we would just kill the Jets. And the Colts are just one game better than the Jets.
To your point about the Patriots, have 3 wins. This is crazy that with these teams that we thought were going to be, you know, how good some of these teams are going to be. And yet the Patriots, I don't look at it as very talented. And yet somehow they've won 3 games. It's like, what's your excuse, New York? What's your excuse, Cincinnati? What's your excuse, Miami? I mean, you're supposed to be good teams. We all thought you were going to be good teams. So I'm with you. You lose tonight as 2.5 point dogs here against the Rams. You're pretty much cooked. It looks like the Fish should be cooked down there in South Beach. And that total, by the way, has gone up to 49. Michael, we're expecting some points.
And when does he get it? Like, when do they get it turned around? I mean, it's one thing for all of us to say, well, they didn't have Tua. But Tua doesn't play off defense.
Right.
He doesn't play in the kicking game. There's ways to win football. I mean, do you think let's use the Mike Tomlin effect. Do you think Mike Tomlin would have lost 3 games in a row to Indianapolis, to Arizona, and then get in Buffalo? They played Buffalo well last week up there. So if they can build off of that, You know, we if they can build off that, but they've only scored 124 points so far this year. I mean, look, they lose to Buffalo at home when he got hurt. The next week against Seattle, they get blown out. It was a disgrace, 24-3. Then they play Tennessee. I mean, they've had a pretty favorable schedule, right? And Tennessee, New England, Indianapolis, Arizona, and they still only have two wins.
It's remarkable. And boy, by the way, about the Tomlin point, they won 10 games last year. Mason Rudolph got into the playoffs, and then they cleaned out the entire quarterback room. I mean, that's how good of a job Mike did last year. And to the point about Miami, yes, you've had injuries to Tua. Figure it out. Tomlin did with three different guys. Figure it out.
But that's the problem with our league. We just don't – we refuse. And but look, Mike Tomlin, when he walked in there into Pittsburgh, he was a good coach.
Right.
Like, Mike Tomlin was good the minute he walked in there, because Mike Tomlin walked in as a leader. He walked in there and he knew who he was, and he had great leadership skills. He could lead men. Jim Harbaugh is a leader. See, I think what's happened to our league is we get so caught up on what offense are you bringing with you, what defense. No, we need leadership. Who's the leader of the team? Who can lead the team? And that's a missing link. And you could just see it, the disparity in coaching is so bad, and it's the worst it's ever been in the league, because they're hiring all these young guys with no experience. I mean, Brian Callahan, no experience at all, really never really called plays. He's got his dad to help him. Antonio Pierce, we don't even need to go down there, you know. I mean, it's just kind of ironic. It's just so bad, you know. And then when you do get somebody with experience like Matt Eberflus, he's really just a defensive coordinator that you promoted to head coach. He's not a head coach. And nobody really understands the art of head coaching. That's the biggest problem. We don't have guys. Whereas you see it in in places. You see it in Baltimore. You see it in Pittsburgh. You see it in Kansas City. Even though he calls plays, you see it in Denver. I mean, think about this. If just think about this for a second. If D'Amico Ryans doesn't turn down the Denver job to take the Houston job, Sean Payton might not be working.
Wow.
Sean Payton might not be working, because he did not get Carolina said no to him, right? And Denver came back to him after D'Amico turned him down, and then he was able to get what he wanted to do to build the team, to take it over. But think about that.
That's amazing.
It wasn't like that was commonplace.
No.
Same. I mean, Harbaugh. I mean, you're the Raiders. You're sitting there. Jim Harbaugh was he started his coaching career. He loved Al Davis. It was everything about him. But you don't hire him. You keep Antonio Pierce. That's a major blunder.
I know Bears fans are thinking the same thing about Jim Harbaugh, that, you know, could have had him in Chicago as well. Looks like they're headed for more turmoil with that coaching staff. It's a great point. Like, the coaching disparity in the league has never been more evident than you just outlined right there. You mentioned coaching. You mentioned Andy Reid. And that does get us to our game of the week.
This is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week, presented by Lowe's. Here's Michael Lombardi.
They don't get a whole lot better, Michael, than this one. Chiefs and Bills. And I want to start this conversation today as we break this game down for the next 5 days with the point spread. And you see right now that the Bills are 1.5 favorites over the Chiefs, who are still undefeated. We saw what happened last year in the AFC divisional round, where Kansas City went into Buffalo and got that win. What's your initial reaction to that opening line with the Bills being favored at home?
I think it's the right line, because, look, we know this. The Bills ran the ball for 170-something last year, and they threw it for one. They can move the ball on Spagnuolo's defense. They know how to run it, and Josh Allen knows how to handle it. And I think, to me, playing on the road with Kansas City's tackles, I think is going to be a little bit of an issue. I mean, they will try to run the football. Look, that's what they're going to try to do to really hold it in. I mean, like yesterday they had 19 carries for 57 yards. I mean, they had to throw it 42 times in the game yesterday, you know, and they scored 16 points. Bo Nix threw the ball really well. He had 22 completions and 215 yards passing. I mean, they're going to move the football. I think it's the right line. I think it's the perfect line. I think they need to be able to. I think Buffalo should be the favorite, because let's face it, there's been one score games by Kansas City. Now, everybody's going to come out and say that Patrick Mahomes is the perfect play as a dog. There's no question about that.
That's right.
But is Patrick Mahomes playing well enough, you know, to be able to do that, you know? I mean, I'm not sure. There's not an explosive element to this offense at all. There's really not. They're a ball control, They're gonna win you over with ball control. I mean, yesterday they were 43% on third down. They're converting third down. They average 4.8 a play yesterday.
You know, and again, we've got all week. I don't want you to have to give out a winner, certainly here on a Monday. But when I look at this, and you remember last year when the Eagles were undefeated and the Niners were coming to Philadelphia, and it felt like, boy, once the dam breaks, it really broke, right? And then the Eagles had that terrible game. The Niners blew them out. Could you see a scenario like that? Like the Chiefs feel like they're hanging on, but if once it kind of breaks, it could be, all right, let's get it out of our system.
Well, I mean, I think to me, there's a way you have to play them, but you got to play four quarters. One thing about them, they have a heart of a champion.
Yep.
They're not giving up. You got to finish the job. You can't go into the fourth saying we got it. I mean, look, Denver scores no points in the second half or else if they score points in the second half, they win. Of course, if they make that field goal, they win. But this is a great weekend coming up, week 11, Dave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great – we got Baltimore-Pittsburgh. That's going to be a great game, right? You know, we've got Kansas City, you know, at this one. I think that those are two that makes the weekend so good. I think there's a lot of games. Even Seattle, San Francisco will be a good game.
The Commanders, Eagles.
Going to Los Angeles, the Chargers. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a game because that's got wild card implications going on to it.
When you see this a point and a half spread here for the Bills, and again, I think you nailed it on the head with kind of the narratives of Mahomes is a dog. You got to bet him. You think this number? Where do you think this number goes as the week goes? You think it's going to go up on the Buffalo side or kind of stay right where it is?
I don't see it ever getting to three. I think it's 1.5 to 2.5, and I think there'll be some Kansas City money come in because you want to take Kansas City. You want to take Mahomes as a dog. I mean, just look at the numbers.
Yep.
I think it's going to stay right there. I don't think it's going to move too much. What this would tell us is Kansas City probably would be a 2-point favorite if the game was in Buffalo, right?
Yep. I think that's exactly right. So, again, that is our Lombardi Line Game of the Week presented by Lowe's, and we will break this game down because there's so much to get to here as the week goes here on the Lombardi Line. But when we come back, Michael, it's time for players to step into your office. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along in this Veterans Day edition of the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. It is time now for certain players to step into Michael's office. This is presented by Morgan & Morgan. Being an NFL quarterback is hard. Getting a win in your first game as an interim head coach, maybe even a little bit harder. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They've got over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. So submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. So for more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law#529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law#529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal, son. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk when you're Step Into My Office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Michael, first one to knock on your door today, fresh off a long plane trip back to the States, is Danny Dimes. 22-37, threw for just 190 yards, couple picks. You lose to the Panthers in Munich. Michael, what do you have to say to Danny today?
Well, I admire your toughness, really. I admire your character. I think you are everything that a player wants to be. The problem is you just can't get it going. And that's the real hard thing. You just can't make enough plays to get it going. And it's not your fault you were picked sixth overall in the draft. It's not your fault that somebody put $40 million a year in your lap. You had to take it, right? And so I think to me, this is one of those situations where you're probably going to have to realize you're going to have to go somewhere else to rebuild your career. And I would urge you to go somewhere where you felt like you had a complete connection to a quarterback coach, somebody who's really good at rehabbing quarterbacks, because you're going to need a total rehab, because the pressure of you being great is too much. It's just not fair to you. And so as much as I've been critical of your play, I've really been more critical of the people who believe in you, who don't see the weaknesses in your game, the ability to play fast on third down, the ability to control the football when you need to. Everything has to be perfect for you to be successful. And the fact that you've never been able to throw the ball down the field is the biggest concern. And I've been saying it for 5 years. You've never had, I think your first game that you played in against Tampa was your finest game ever where you threw it up the field. I mean, there's just no way we can win if you're not going to make explosive plays down the field with accuracy. And unfortunately, that just happens. I mean, all the character elements are there. It's just the talent level isn't quite what it's good enough. And you're going to have to go somewhere else next year and reestablish your career if you can.
I think it's great advice, by the way, because you've seen a lot of examples of guys like Sam Darnold this year, Baker Mayfield years past, certainly Geno Smith. You go to different places, you're going to get another opportunity. Probably just not going to work out in New York. Caleb Williams is knocking on the door, Michael. It did not look good yesterday in the Windy City. Threw for just 120 yards, and that was on 30 attempts, 16 completions. They can't score a touchdown. They get blown out at home 19-3 by the Patriots. Michael, what do you say to the overall number one pick just a year ago?
Well, I think NFL's hard, Caleb. I think to me, when you came in with that cockiness and believing that you were never going to punt, that your punter wasn't going to punt, he's already punted 45 times this year. So that's a far cry from saying he wasn't going to punt, right? I think to me, there's a humbleness that comes with this. And I think to me, you have to look inward. It's going to be easy to blame Shane Waldron. It's going to be easy to blame Matt Eberflus, but that doesn't take away the responsibility from you. Your inability to throw the ball down the field, 6.1 yards per attempt isn't good enough. And the NFL is a hard game. It's not easy. And I know you're not getting protected. I understand that. I know it's challenging for you because you always have people in your face. But at some point, you're going to have to spend more time studying the playbook. You're going to spend more time learning the game. And you're going to have to figure out. Because right now, when I watch you play, I don't even know what you're good at. I don't even know what you're good at. You hold the ball too long. You don't make really crisp decisions. You don't play fast. You haven't improved one bit from week one to week now. To week 10, you have it. And the mark of the NFL is because of the long season, because of the rookie wall that you're eventually going to hit, you got to keep improving. You got to get better. And right now, Bo Nix, who was the 12th pick, looks better than you as the first pick. You're going to have to accept it and embrace it. That's the only way you're going to get better. But if you want to blame Eberflus, which it's going to be easy to do, if you want to blame Shane Waldron, which is going to be easy to do, you won't get better for the next staff that comes in and coaches you.
Well said. Let's get to Indianapolis because Shane Steichen needs some words today. He decided to bench Anthony Richardson to go to Joe Flacco. That move has not worked out, at least on paper so far. 0-2. He says, hey, that's the leader. He gives us the best chance to lead, and he will remain the starting quarterback, quote, until I say otherwise. Michael, what's your talk to the head coach of Indy?
Well, I don't think you're a head coach, Shane. I think that's the biggest problem. Your decision-making on game day is atrocious. You've never really improved the defense. We've been screaming about Gus Bradley's inability defensively, which hasn't really happened. You know, and offensively, you're a great play designer, and you can call a game. But that doesn't make you a head coach. That doesn't make you somebody who's going to do that. And I've urged everybody in that organization, because I like a lot of people at the Colts, to try to convince you to become a head coach. But it just doesn't seem like you have any interest in being a head coach. And you can claim you make all the decisions and who's going to be the starting quarterback, but you've yet to make a decision on how to fix the defense. You've yet to make a decision to really how to play the game the right way to help your team win. And I think that's really what it is. I mean, you're a head coach in name only, not in authority. You do nothing to help the defense. You do nothing to help the kicking game. And you don't understand how to control and set up an offensive play structure that helps you win the game and play the game a certain way. And whether you put Flacco in there, look, would you have lost two games in a row with Richardson? They wouldn't even have been close. So let's not even go there. The idea to switch back now is absurd, right? But really the idea is, when are you going to become a head coach? What kind of leader are you? You really show no leadership skills. You show a great skill set for understanding how to run plays, but you don't show any skill set as a leader of the team, because if you did, you would have fixed the defense going into the season. You would have been able to make improvements in certain areas of the team, and your decision-making would have been improved, but that doesn't happen. I mean, yesterday's decision to go for it on fourth down, to pass up a field goal, keep your team in the game, you're bordering on Brendan Staley right now. You're going to lose the locker room.
Yeah, people always get kind of caught up in the individual week-to-week battles and not the bigger picture of the war. And right now he's losing the overall war as a head coach. Darren Rizzi, so far so good down there in New Orleans. 1-0 is the interim guy here. Get their first win down there in New Orleans since week two. They'd lost seven in a row. They break that with a home win against the ATL. Michael, Darren's at the door. How do you tell him to keep this momentum going?
As a pride of Bergen Catholic, Darren, you did a great job. You showed enthusiasm. You showed energy. I think your team responded to you, and I think certainly your team played with physicality. You know, look, you've got the Browns coming to town this week. I think focus on just that game alone. And I think you'll have a better opportunity to continue on. And I think you've got to show your skills as a leader, right? You've got to show your skills to be able to handle the role that you've been enticed to put into. And the kicking game leads the way. But you can just see the players, how they reacted to you. And I think that was really encouraging. I think, to me, just stay within your skis, show your emotion, show your ability to get the players to play their finest.
I want to go down one level to college football because Brian Kelly needs a talking to today, Michael. He's at your door. They got humbled by Bama over the weekend, 42-13. That was in Baton Rouge. Going to have Carl Johnson, by the way, join us down there in the next segment. What do you say to Coach Kelly today?
Look, I think when you get beat like that, Brian, I don't think it's really comes down to you could stare down your offensive coordinator. You could stare down your defense coordinator. I think it all falls on you. I mean, it just wasn't good enough. And look, Milroe did some things that I think were one in recruiting, not one on the blackboard, right? He just was unique in what his ability to run away from your team. And there probably was a different way to win that game, but certainly it wasn't, your team wasn't ready to play. I think you've got to bounce back against Florida. Look, the one thing that game did is eliminate you from the 12-team conversation. So for you to save the season, I think you got to show your coaching skills to go into Gainesville this week and really take advantage of a bad Florida team. To me, that'll show a lot about what your control is over this program. I think that's more important than going back and reflecting on Alabama. Alabama on that day was by far the better team. But the way Milroe played in that game and you didn't have an answer for how to stop him from running, that's a concern. But even when you did have an answer to stop him from running, he was able to outrun your defense. He was that special on that day. So I think you got to spin this forward. I think you got to take it to the next level and try to find a way to beat Florida. I think that's going to be the key.
We could do a whole show on this next segment, but on this next conversation. But very quickly, when you look at coaching, right? College versus the NFL. If you were to look at a college guy to go to the NFL level, what's the number one thing you're looking for, Michael?
I want to look at the structure of the program. I want to look at how he coaches the coaches. That's what's lacking in the NFL. No one coaches the coaches. Everybody's an independent contractor. Mm. Someone has to coach the coach. How are we going to play today to win the game today? No one answers that question. No one answers that. Well, I shouldn't say no one. Jim Harbaugh answers it. John Harbaugh answers it. Mike Tomlin answers it. Andy Reid answers it. I mean, how do we have to play to win the game today? And that doesn't start on Sunday afternoon. It starts on Monday when you start breaking down the tape to get ready to play the team.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And yes, right? Harbaugh, you win at Michigan. You'd already gone to a Super Bowl in the NFL. Certain guys can do it because they coach the coaches. When we come back, we're going back down there to Baton Rouge with Carl Johnson next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Continuing our Veterans Day edition here of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. Always love catching up with Rich Gannon in hour number one on the Lombardi Line. And we love in hour number two going back down to where we were talking about at Beau Rivage with a sports director there, Carl Johnson. You can follow him on X as I do at Jick Jack Johnson. Great to join us again on the Progressive Guest Line. Carl, I'm terrible with my geography. And we were talking about, you know, Brian Kelly and LSU. Michael had a great segment about stepping into the office. Not too far from you down there at Beau Rivage, right? What's the tone and tenor on a Monday after what happened with Bama and LSU?
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Veterans Day. Yeah, you know, Dave, not good. and you could probably say this about a whole bunch of teams, but for Brian Kelly at LSU, the culture down there, these are the types of games that he's got to win. He's 4-8 against ranked opponents. He just hadn't got there. And look, I heard Michael in the last segment, he's exactly right. They had no answer for Milroe at all. I mean, they give up 311 yards rushing, and 185 of it, I think, was to him with four touchdowns. You know, you're not going to win too many games like that.
Now, what about Florida this week? What's the your line? I mean, what's the number on the Florida game that he goes to? Because to me, I talked about it, Carl, that there's nothing he's going to be able to do to fix the Alabama problem. He's out of the top 12 in terms of making that. I mean, his focus has got to be strictly on how do I get a good bowl game? How do I end the season strong? And I think to me, it's got to be on Florida. What's the line on that game, and what do you think the movement's going to be?
Yeah, so, you know, right now we're going to open this at 4.5, 55.5. I think, you know, just from where we're at, I think we're going to be bet up with LSU there, you know, and I think the thought process is that, you know, they're going to be coming off a loss to Alabama and stuff like that. And they'll probably drive this thing up just a little bit. But look, it's not a good position to be in. I mean, he's, you know, I think he's in a little bit of a hot seat. He needs to win this football game pretty bad. His fan base knows that. Florida struggled a little bit, you know, so, but we'll see, but it's not a good spot. I guarantee you he was glad to see Nick Saban jump on a plane and leave Baton Rouge the other night.
we know Florida's sticking with Billy Napier. Can you imagine if the Tigers lose to the Gators? Boy, that would be an interesting conversation if that happened. The other big game, certainly down south and across the college landscape, was Ole Miss. And they really handled Georgia 28-10 here on Saturday. How'd you guys fare there? I was not so stunned by the result, but maybe in the manner of the result.
Yeah, that was actually one of our, Saturday was kind of Saturday was a huge day for us as far as foot traffic, just because what we had the Ole Miss Georgia game, we had LSU Alabama, you know, so it's set up to be a good day with the times of these games. That was a good outcome for us. I mean, they bet us Georgia pretty strong. And the thing about these games, the Ole Miss, they were to win on the money line. So it knocked out all those money line parlays that they had with Georgia. But a good outcome for us. The Bama was a great outcome for us. They bet us LSU and it just never let up. They covered all the teasers with those two games too, which was pretty important. So that was two of our good outcomes. We had some outcomes not so good. The Michigan-Indiana game was not a good outcome for us, as well as the Navy game, believe it or not. The Navy versus South Florida wasn't a good outcome. But all in all, Saturday was kind of a break-even day, but a good traffic day here.
How about Sunday? The New Orleans Saints, Darren Rizzi, kind of uplifted the town. I mean, you could feel the energy on the field from the start of the game. And, you know, they were able to – I thought Atlanta was going to find a way to come back. Now, of course, their kicker missed three kicks, which was really costly in the game. Typically, you know, they don't miss those kicks. Who doesn't usually miss those kind of kicks? But – really, there felt like there was an uplifting. You could see there was a disconnect between Dennis Allen and what Rizzi brought to the table. Right, Carl?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you really could, Mike, and it's amazing. I mean, I don't keep up with that trend, but, you know, when they made the coaching move last week, I had a sense that, you know, those I don't think those guys are going to lay down, but I had a sense, and it seems like every time there's a change like that, the team with the coaching change, they may not get there, but they put out the effort for the new guy. And, you know, in this situation, they was able to get there. It was actually a good outcome for us. We don't get to pull for the Saints too much, but things have been so bad down there and we get so much good traffic coming from the Atlanta way. We actually made a little money on the Saints game yesterday.
I don't know the exact stat, Carl, off the top of my head, but I believe like we've never had all the Florida schools in college and then the NFL not get one win on the weekend, right? And that could happen if the Dolphins don't win tonight in L.A. What are you guys seeing there? Because Rams now getting bet up, it feels like up to 2.5 is what I'm seeing. The total has been rising too.
Yeah, so, you know, the Rams have been making kind of a little, I guess, a surge in the betting market. You know, they've been bet the last few weeks. So right now we're at Rams 2.5, 49. I think it's going to be – I think you know, when it's all said and done, I think we're going to need the Dolphins here. You know, I think with Tua's back, that gives them a little hope. But Rams been playing – pretty good as far as bettors are concerned. So we'll see how it goes, but it should be a good game. And you're right. Yeah. You know, it would be a pretty good parlay to bet against all those, you know, and people do that. They put their tickets together like that, where they'll just bet all against all their state teams and stuff like that. But hadn't seen one come across the counter yet.
Carl, we are, you know, Indiana, huge game this week, right? I mean, this is really, we're going to find out about Indiana. What's been any action so far on this one?
Yeah, so look, I mean, wow, what can you say? I mean, this team is, you know, they're in a position that they've never been in before. I mean, what are they, number 5 right now, undefeated? They're getting bet, Mike. You know, and look, I can tell you, it takes a lot for this area of the country to bet those teams like that. Just nothing against the teams, but it's just that the fans down here don't follow those teams as much as they do the SEC teams. So they're active. They get bet. They've been getting bet all year with us. You know, we had them. You know, this past week. You know, they're betting Michigan plus 14.5 was a bad outcome, for us. They did take all those points, but hey, Indiana keeps winning. Kudos to those people. They deserve it.
What about this Tennessee Georgia game now? Because you know, Carson Beck, we're talking about, hey, he's going to be a Heisman Trophy guy. And then that's long gone. And now they're going to lay almost double digits against
a lot,
right? Against the Big Orange coming in there. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, Georgia coming off that loss too. I mean, we got them at 9 and 48.5 is where we're going to open up at. And I think that's a big number. When I first seen that number, you know, my immediate reaction was, wow, that's a little bit bigger than what I thought. You know, I see this game under 7, I thought would be a pretty good place to start. And then I think it's going to get bet down. So I think we're going to see, you know, this time of the year, we start seeing a lot of teaser action. So I think we're going to see, you know, some wagers come in on Tennessee. They're going to be playing those, you know, 7-point teasers. So we'll either need a couple of things. We'll either need Tennessee to win outright, or we'll need Georgia just to win by a ton to cover those teasers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I was disappointed in Georgia. I think it was a great win for Ole Miss, but I'm not sure Georgia's the same team we remember them, especially offensively with Beck being so inconsistent, Carl. I'd have a hard time thinking they're going to cover very many spreads.
Yeah. I mean, to me, they kind of seem like the Kansas City Chiefs on that level as far as the college, you know,
exactly.
They play a similar type football, and they just, you just don't have that feeling that you've had in the last few years. So, I sensed the same thing. And, you know, like I said, when I seen this number come out, I went, wow, that's a bunch. But we'll see how it plays out.
Carl, always enjoy the Monday conversations, my friend. Enjoy the rest of it. And I can't wait to catch up again next week.
Yeah, you guys have a good weekend. We'll check you later.
There he is, everybody. Carl Johnson.
Thanks,
great stuff,
Carl.
Here on the Progressive Guest Line. By the way, you're down that neck of woods, anywhere across the country, check out First Bet. From Santa Anita all the way to Gulfstream Park, the Derby, Preakness, First Bet's got you covered. You can sign up firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com and do so today. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Veterans Day edition of the Lombardi Line here next on VEASAN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And Michael, before we get to the Monday night football game, you know, you blink and boom, almost 10 weeks of the NFL regular season is done. What's your biggest takeaway from this particular week so far in the NFL?
I think to me it's coaching matters more than ever. And I think the quality of the coaching in the league, when we have so many bad teams, I mean, in a league that's built on parity, right? We have 11 teams that aren't any good. And it makes the 4 o'clock window when you don't have really good game. We thought the Jets Arizona was going to be a good game. It wasn't, you know? And so I think to me, my biggest takeaway is like players, you can overpay for bad players and it costs you. You can overpay for just average coaches. I mean, these NFL coaches, Shane Steichen's making $9 million a year. Is he a $9 million a year coach? Of course he's not. Of course he's not. It's just not, it's not even close. And so to me, either you go and get the right coach or you're not going to get a good coach. I think to me, that's the biggest issue. And these owners are trying to handle the situation by, you know, breaking down so many parts of the organization, having a collaborative effort when, you know, collaboration in Denver and the Chargers and Kansas City, that's not really what's been going on there.
I look at it too, to your point, we always kind of now go, it's got to be quarterback and head coach. It's got to be this symbiotic relationship, but you got to coach the other 52, right? As well. Like, yeah. It looked like it's Mike McDaniels and Tua Tagovailoa, and they forget about the rest of the team there. Like,
which they have,
right? Like, can we get back to coaching all of the players in the room and not just one?
It goes back to what I've been saying all along. It's like at some point, don't we have to make the team better, not make the quarterback better?
Right.
See, the perfect example is what you just brought up is Mike McDaniel has made Tua better, but he hadn't made the team better.
Right.
He hasn't made the team better. I mean, he's 4-10 the second half of the season the last 2 years. He's been through three defensive coordinators the last 3 years. This is his third one, Anthony Weaver. They haven't improved in any area. You know, Tua's improved. They could score points, but as the season goes on, it just doesn't work. So to me, I think that that's got to be something you're really concerned about. How do we make the team better? Or how do we make the overall organizational structure better? How do we make the culture? It's worked. And, you know, all you have to do is look at the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're Mark Davis, you're sitting there watching the Chargers on Sunday afternoon, just be the kind of team you hoped your team would be. Well, the reason they are and you're not is because they got the better coach.
6-3 right now with the Chargers. It doesn't always look pretty, but it is effective right now. Speaking of effective, it's going to make you better. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, you need to do so. Do not waste any more time. Access to your daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, better ratings. We've got exclusive betting splits, trends, and analysis. It's going to make you better, that's for sure. So start your VSiN Pro subscription today as little as $9.99. See everything VSiN has to help up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I do want to get to our best bets and certainly break down this Monday Night Football game. They are brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And Michael, that does get us to the final game here of week number 10. It's the Dolphins getting 2.5 on the road against the Rams. And again, when you're playing out there in SoFi, no disrespect to Los Angeles, sleepy city when it comes to sports, sometimes not the biggest home field advantage. And 48.5 is the total in this one. That's gone up, by the way, 49 we're seeing at certain spots. Michael, how much does that playing in LA handicap matter, that you know that the other team's going to have a good showing of fans, we would believe, in Los Angeles tonight for the Fightin' Fish?
Well, I think it certainly helps, you know, as you're practicing and handling snap count and handling noise and all those things. I think it's really important. You know, they probably went out there on, you know, Sunday morning and they got settled because they don't play till night. But, Dave, you know, the game that I was unbelievable was how many Steeler fans were in Washington?
Yes.
It was amazing yesterday, right? You know, and usually Washington's, you know, has great fan support when they win, but those Steeler fans took over. That terrible towels were all over the place. And that's, they travel. I mean, it's amazing. And the same thing with, I think Miami fans travel as well, too. There's a huge element of them. So I think to me, that's going to be the key. But look, you know, Tua has struggled at night games. He's 3-9 against the spread, has lost 5 consecutive ATS at night games, including going 0-5 straight up, you know. So I think these are really You know, I mean, these are long odds against him. He's faced eight teams with 50% win percentage or more in these night games, and he's 2-6 straight up and against the spread, and he's lost six in a row. It's a big night for Tua.
You know, sometimes I look at it and I go, you can watch the value of a player when they don't play. Like, if you know, Micah Parsons, I know it didn't look great on defense yesterday, but you could see the difference, the energy level that certain guys have. And I'm almost looking at Tua and going, they didn't win last week against Buffalo, but you see the difference that Tua does make, obviously, with the offense. We'll find out what the Cowboys look like without Dak, but it doesn't look good. Can you almost make the claim that you really do see the true value in some of these quarterbacks when they don't play?
Yeah, you really, well, obviously you can see it. Look at Dak. I mean,
right.
You might not think Dak's worth $60 million a year, but it what's, you know, the problem is there's not enough good quarterbacks to cover all the teams, right? So when you go to a backup, you're really, look at Mac Jones. I mean, they had the fourth worst offensive outing in the history of Jacksonville Jaguars, and they've had a lot of bad offense, right? Mm. But, you know, how was Jacksonville going to score? To me, if you took Minnesota and laid the seven, it was the right play. If you took the Jags and took the seven, it was the wrong play. You got lucky because Darnold turned the ball over in the red zone and made a lot of bad decisions. So I think to me, that's something that you take a look at. But, you know, I mean, the backups are just not good enough.
When you look at McVay, and I think we all think maybe the misnomer is this is not one of those analytically driven coaches, right? He's won a Super Bowl. We know that. He's a little bit more conservative than I think people think. Does he rely on, is he going to rely on Tua to make a mistake and, you know, like, hey, I'll dummy it down here. See if I can force one, for him to make a mistake. Cause we always talk about maybe sometimes more games are lost than won in the NFL.
Yeah. I think he's going to play it like, you know, he's going to try to establish the run. I think one thing Sean does a really good job of is watching the game, which is not what Shane Steichen does, right? You know, you have to watch the game and you have to understand the game of what's happening. And I think he makes his decisions based on that. And I don't think he wants to lose the game either. You know, there's a lot of times where you can lose the game. For example, yesterday, you know, Buffalo is 20-13. They have a 4th-and-2 at the Buffalo 22. The Colts do. They decide to go for it, 4th-and-2. He kicks a field goal. It's 20-16. He's going to make the field goal kickoff. But what happens? He goes for it. He loses 10 yards. What happens next? Buffalo gets this so-called thing that no one believes exists, at least the analytical community, that does it. They get momentum, and now it's 27-13. The game is over. Mm. See, nobody says to you what you should do when you don't go for it. What's the result, right? Nobody's going to bring that subject up. Well, he went for it and didn't get it. Well, what happened next? Right? The whole idea, well, we're going to pin him back and we're going to get the ball back and field, but we'll get back here again. No, you just lost the game. That decision cost you the game. The momentum went in their favor. And I think it's really, really, it's one of the decisions that Sean doesn't engage in. He's smart enough to know, I'm going to take the points. It's 2016. We're in this game. If they kick a field goal, I'm still a touchdown within. You know, I mean, I got to keep matching it. I can't give away points on drives. I think it's, to me, one of the worst decisions you could see.
Yeah, and we see that. It feels like it's been an epidemic in the league here. Maybe sometimes I get it, pushing the envelope at times, but sometimes you take those unnecessary risks. They don't look at what can happen, to your point, when they don't get it right down the field. And for all intents and purposes, that game was over. So again, the GBank Visa Signature Card is your very best bet. It delivers 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. So for more info, head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. Michael, now that we are sitting here, double digits, week 10 of the NFL, it does feel like we're getting those demarcations across the league here. For teams that feel like they have no hope, do you look elsewhere in the roster and start kicking the tires on other guys, or do you kind of keep going with the guys even if you're not getting the desired results?
Well, I think you're going to have to show who's in command. I think you have to show the team we're building on for something. I mean, if you know you're coming back, you're Brian Callahan, you're not getting fired after a year, you got to build on something. You got to find something to build on that can propel you into next season, right? I think that's what Denver did. They got better even though they weren't going to make the playoffs last year. I think they did that. Same thing in Seattle. Same thing when you have these new coaches in certain places, you know, where if you're in Chicago, you're holding on and you're trying to find a way to win the game. because you know you're going to get fired if you don't. But what you have to do is constantly build on something. And I think that's where you have to gain the improvement.
Wow. I mean, we're going to see it. We see it every year, the turnover from the head coaching ranks in the NFL. But I think after some of these that have been on display in recent weeks, we're going to see a lot more coming up in the weeks ahead. Michael, always enjoy the Monday conversation. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow.
You bet. All right, David, we'll talk tomorrow.
Absolutely. Again, everybody, don't go anywhere, because now that we are done here in the Lombardi Line, a numbers game. We got Gil Alexander. We got Kelly Bidwin. They're in the house next, followed by Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jeff Schwartz at noon Eastern. And then stick around. We got Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Lombardi Line.